Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Friday, September 2nd, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to the weekend edition of Wing TV. Before we get started today, I have to tell you about something that I heard on the radio that George Bush said. He was giving a speech down for the hurricane victims, and he says, "With considering the high price of gasoline, everybody has to start conserving." So he said, "If you don't have to, don't go out and fill up your tank." So I'm thinking, I'm sitting at home, I don't have anything to do. So I say, "Hey Lisa, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out and get raped by spending $3.19 a gallon, even though I don't need to. How can we allow this idiot to be in office? It's unbelievable. Don't fill your tank if you don't have to. Like, we're really going to." Also, we're going to... It's incredible. Also, we're going to be on Alex Merklinger's Mysteries of the Mind tonight. The show starts at 9 o'clock. We'll be on about 9:30.
Right.
And also, we want to point out to watch Lisa's photo gallery at the end of the show today.
Today, we're devoting it to Hurricane Katrina, its aftermath, the victims, that whole issue, and
right.
It's really devastating what's going on the Gulf Coast.
It is. Now, we have a special guest today. That's where we're kind of hurrying. His name is Scott Gordon. He's a research analyst, and this guy knows what he's talking about. So, Scott, welcome to Wing TV.
Thanks for having me, Victor. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Now, I know we have a lot to cover today, so let's jump right into it. Here in Pennsylvania, in State College, gas is $3.19 a gallon. Now, the gas station owner's saying that they're not making any more profit now than they were before, so the money's not going into their pocket. So this is the big question that everybody in America is asking. Who specifically, and that's the key word, specifically, who is making all the money off of this rampant price gouging when it comes to gasoline?
Well, it's obvious that the big oil companies are making the money, and the refiners primarily, too. You don't see them lowering their prices because their production's down so they can help out the public because they're all about profits.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way they've always been, and that's the way they always will be.
And
it's just a big tax on the public, and they feel we have this ATM machine in our homes, you know, what's called equity, and we can just tap it unlimitedly.
Yeah. And how much is OPEC to blame? Because when you listen to right-wing radio, it's all OPEC, but are they really the blame, or is it... Is it more the oil companies?
Well, I think it's even deeper than that. I don't believe it's, you know, OPEC, because I've heard many times that they really don't favor high oil prices.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to listen to an interview, your listeners, that, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I found out who were and get the right information. And I was able to listen in to a very insightful interview with one of your past people that you had interviewed, and that was Lindsey Williams. And he came out with a very startling statement.
Yes, he does.
That was that this is nothing more than tax, that the all these OPEC countries are in agreement to sell their oil in dollars, and
right.
in turn they take the money and they come back and they buy our debt,
yeah.
which is just another form of taxation so we can finance these our fine senators and representatives wild spending ways, not to mention the Bush administration.
Right. Yeah. Scott, let me interrupt you there. In January 2000, oil was $10 a barrel. In December of 2001, gas was $1.03 per gallon. Now oil's hovering around $70 a barrel, and it's over $3 a gallon at the pump around here. Down south, some places are reporting between $5 and $6 a gallon. So my question is this. If prices stay at this level or continue to rise, what long-term effects will this paradigm shift have on interest rates and hyperinflation?
Well, people need to understand that there's nothing in this market that is run by natural forces.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is manipulated by the central bank and their front, you know, corporations or banks or funds or however they're able to manipulate the futures markets. Okay, so everything's done by full manipulation. That's why the 10-year treasury, which dictates the mortgage rates, are artificially low, because they turn around and sell it and then have their intermediaries buy it right back. So everything's, historically, when you look at all the imbalances and things of that nature, when one thing goes up, another thing should go down. Everything is all backwards now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very obvious what they're doing. and how it's going to affect us. They feel that, you know, we can pay upwards around $5-6 a gallon, which will inevitably happen probably within the next 12 to 16 months, because I was able to get some information on the CFR meeting, and they feel that $100 to $120 a barrel is very realistic and very, very positive for the economy, if you can believe that. So it all comes down to those things. This is an upward trend, and it's going to continue, and you have the foghorn people out there, you know, beating the tom-tom, like a man named Matthew Simmons.
Right.
Who's Big Oil, and also was an advisor to the Bush administration, and also a member of the CFR, and wrote a book called Twilight in the Desert, which I don't recommend we buy because I hate to give him a dime of my money. And you're going to, you know, people like that, you know, they don't see, he's on CNBC, he's on Bloomberg, I've heard him many times, he's on a few other talk shows, and he's probably the biggest foghorn out there.
Yeah, that's right.
And, but they don't, you know, they don't come out and say, hey, you're part of the CFR, and you're part of the Bush Administration Energy Advisory Council, and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, this is what they're going to do. And that's one of the reasons I think that, they've allowed housing prices to get so out of whack because everybody has this false sense of wealth,
based on paper.
Well, Scott, years ago, Franklin Roosevelt, I'm going to read a quote, and he said, in politics, nothing happens by accident. If it happened, you can bet it was planned that way. So what he's saying is that world events don't just happen. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I try to figure out how the New World Order, or why the New World Order does what it does. And other than obvious greed, why are they jacking up prices so high? I mean, what's their motivation in light of the obvious hardships that it's causing?
Well, they don't really care about us, and you know, these banks have a wonderful machine. They can create, money out of nothing, out of thin air. And that's, you know, we have this, everybody has this ATM. I talk to mortgage people all the time, and half the loans are refinanced, and they take money out of their house like it's an ATM.
Yeah, how can they become our banks?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different figures that are thrown out there, but, you know, we're talking hundreds of billions of dollars a year people are extracting from their home.
Yeah.
I was talking to a neighbor the other day who bought a brand new home, was waiting for it to be built, and the first thing out of his mouth was saying, you know, I just bought it, and, you know, I'm waiting for it to be built in the next 6 months. It's already gone up $30,000 in value, which was equivalent to like 8%.
Unreal.
Okay? And, you know, these people, you know, they've spun this web for many, many, you know, hundreds of years. I mean, this is a grand plan. And they got us so tied up into material wealth and materialism and greed and showmanship I'm making a point to talk to everybody and pick up little bits of information here, there, and everywhere.
Well, let's go into something else now. Peak oil. Morgan Reynolds, who is an economist, an independent scholar, and he was a member of the Bush administration during the first 4 years, he says peak oil is a ruse, and we happen to agree with him that it's a scam. Peak oil plays into the New World Order's hand in three areas, we think. A, it serves as a hidden global tax, which we've mentioned before on this show. B, it reinforces the neocon agenda in the Middle East and that we have to fight for this limited amount of oil that's available. And C, it gives the UN an excuse to pattern our behavior under Agenda 21. So what's your take on peak oil?
Well, I think it is a hidden tax. That's obvious. But I think the reason why we're really in Iraq is because they went to trading oil in euros. Okay, mm-hmm. that's like an act of war.
With Saddam Hussein,
because everything is dollar majority, you know, denominated in the world. So by doing that, you know, that was an act of aggression. They took it, and not to mention you have Iran, which, by the way, is, you know, you brought it up on your website about the oil push that they want to start doing trading in oil and I'm not sure what currency, but it's not going to be dollars. Okay. And based upon what Lindsey Williams said, you know, where they need this money to come right back to buy up our debt, you know, you got to put, you know, all the things together and what they're really all about and what they're really doing and what their motives are. And as far as, spreading this out over all the globe, when you look back at history, like the Nazis and the French with Napoleon, we get all spread out, all our forces, we're like the world police.
Right.
We're out there patrolling everybody and watching all the oil, which is just an excuse, okay? And at the same time, we're not taking care of home.
Yeah, yeah. That's evident today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, we're going to lead with that one, don't you?
Yeah.
So, people are just, like I said, they're so caught up in the material ways. And I talk to people all the time, like I said, and they want to put their head in the ground and the blinders up because there's so much prosperity. All they care about is how much their house is going up in value and where they're going to eat dinner and so on and so on. That, with football and you name it, they create every distraction humanly possible.
Yeah. Well, Scott, one of my favorite stories lately is one that you told me. And the reason why is that it shows that economic events don't just happen at random, but that they're being controlled from behind the scenes. And specifically, I asked you, when do you think the housing bubble is going to burst? And you said whenever they wanted to. Expand on that a little bit more.
Well, we're obviously in uncharted territory, which, everybody is predicting for the last 5 years, a bust, a bust, a bust. And it just keeps going and going and going, and it's one of those things that this is a theory of mine. There's no specific data to back everything up because even the best economists in the world have been wrong about this. They want to, create this prosperity and create this little money machine out of their house, and at the same time, it's half the size. It's 50% of our economy.
Mm-hmm.
We're no longer a manufacturing country.
Yep.
Okay, we're now a servicing country. And half of our country is built on building homes, remodeling homes, something that's home-oriented, okay? And that is what's holding up everything.
Right.
Okay, if housing goes, it's over.
I would like to ask you this about the housing bubble. I'd like you to compare it to the dot-com craze of the late 1990s when the market collapsed.
Okay, perfect example. When you talk to people back in the dot-com days and they say, the old thing was, you just buy it, it'll go up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's the same psychology right now.
Uh-huh.
Just buy it, it'll go up. It's your best investment. You can't lose. It might go down a little bit, but in the long run, it goes up and all that stuff, okay? And I've learned, by listening to a very wise investor, we know of Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
And he has a very, intriguing saying. And that is, when everybody is very, very greedy, be very, very fearful.
Uh-huh.
And when everybody is very, very fearful, you be very, very greedy. Okay, meaning, when you think it's the greatest thing in the world, get out.
Right.
And when you think it's the thing you just shouldn't touch, that means nobody's in it, and you better be buying it hand over fist.
Yeah, well, that's a great point. And
I hate to cut you off, but while I got this trend of my thought, I had a working relationship with a person about 15 years ago who was a mortgage company. It was not just your ordinary mortgage company, big company. And he told me that where to buy homes. And back when we lived at that time, it was like, who the heck wants to live out there? Well, it turns out now it's the biggest booming area in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But made one statement to me at the time. I thought, it's just the wackiest thing. And now I find it to be the most profound statement that just sits in my back of my head. And that is, he says, this was back when home ownership was around less than 60%.
Mm-hmm.
He says, in order to prevent a revolution, you have to have at least 67% home ownership rate.
Uh-huh.
And now when I look back at that, and it comes back at me now, call it fate, And you say to yourself, wow, now it's up to 69%.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Okay, so you can see that there's all these different motives, we've heard, interviews and read it from, I have the book, Vatican Assassins,
right.
Eric John Phelps, which is probably the most important book of our life. And you can see that, what they want to do to this country.
Oh, of
okay?
course.
What the inevitability is with this country. The CFR wants to, make this a North American union and break down the borders. And so you see, the where things are heading and we're the minority of the minority that see this.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, let's get back. back to, well, let's get back to motivation again. And if this bubble does burst, and of course there's, you know, it depends on what extreme it bursts to, but you're going to see this ensuing chaos. You're going to see foreclosures, bankruptcies, financial panic. People are going to be wiped out. Do you think they're doing it for the reasons of that they want to monetize the debt, that they want to create a new global currency, or ultimately that they want to chip us? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, they do want to go to a global currency. Mm-hmm. Well, will they do it immediately? Who knows? But it is the inevitability. What they want is a one-world currency. I've heard talk about it already. So that is, I talked to a man once who said, I said, yeah, look at all the debt. And this is back when I didn't know as much as I knew now. I said, how can this continue with all this debt? He said, we'll wipe it all out and we'll start all over.
Scott, we've seen the complexion of mortgages change over the last few years, where you could have no money down, interest-only loans, and more variable rates, which poses a considerable danger to the loan holder. So tell me, how does Alan Greenspan fit into this in regard to the international bankers?
Well, right now they're promoting it, but they're not heavily, directly involved. Uh-huh. I don't think. I know in California half of all loans are interest only, which I think fuels the whole Western United States for housing, because everybody's cashing out and buying in Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, because all of a sudden they have all this extra cash and they can buy a nicer home for less money.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, 30%, okay, let's just round out some numbers to make it really easy for people. We're selling, let's just be really conservative, we're around 7 million homes, resale homes every year. That's, pre-existing. And then we have another, 1.25 million, new homes being built. So we're around 8.25 million homes that are transacted every year. A third of those homes are due to speculators and second home buyers.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think when he had this conference in Wyoming last week, he was just doing his usual jawboning. Okay? He's a professional jawboner. Okay? And because that's his job. He's a salesman just like Bush is. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's just doing what he's told, and he's trying to put a little fear into people that are speculators to back off.
To back off a little bit, yeah. Yeah. Well, here in the United States, in the last few decades, we've lived way beyond our means. That's obvious. And it seems like there's two reasons why we get this double subsidy. One is that all of OPEC oil, as you mentioned, is priced in dollars. And secondly is that foreign nations are buying up all our debt, which is money basically that we still create out of thin air. So my question, Scott, is how precarious is the situation for the United States if the world moves away from the dollar as the global currency and moves to another currency?
Over.
It's over.
Okay, Scott. Oh, did you want
to
continue?
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
That pretty much sums it up. Like, if we move away from the dollar, it's done, isn't it?
Yep.
It's over.
Jeez.
Well, that sucks. Okay. We've seen the powers that be are allowing this massive illegal immigration invasion into our country, and we see it as a way to erode our national sovereignty. But do you also see it as a means for cheap labor so that the United States can compete with China's slave labor market?
Absolutely. We have to level the playing field. We're no longer, like I said, a manufacturing country. And that's why they're so lax about the borders. All these, state emergencies they're having down there is not due to immigration as we look at it, okay, it's due to the criminal element, which is out of control. And that is, and like I said, with the big plan of breaking down the borders for one Northern European Union, it's inevitable, but I think Mexico has alternative ideas, and that is that there was a poll that was done back in 2002 that polled all the Hispanics, and they felt 68% felt that California, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, and parts of Texas were rightfully theirs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay?
And we are, in a sense, at war with
Mexico,
and we don't even know it.
Yeah, I agree.
And they're sending everything they can by just overrunning us by human population.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay? And next thing you know, they're going to control every, you know, they're, it's just, that's the way it is. Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, we have Congress people that do nothing but give us lip service about
that's right.
it.
That's right.
Yeah, you're right. Well, Scott, I want to run this.
They're talk.
Yeah.
You know, you know, they're good at talk, but they don't walk the talk.
Yeah. I'd like to run this scenario past you. Over the past decade or so, the United States has moved, by and large, its manufacturing base to China and other countries, too. So China makes our goods now, ships them to America. We pay for them in U.S. dollars. Then what China does is give the money back to us by buying our debt. So in a sense, we're getting our products almost for free. What do you think of this strange dynamic?
Well, what you know, I have, free is a very interesting word. That's like saying, you know what you get for nothing?
Nothing.
Okay? And they know if they don't take and recycle their money, it's over for them.
Right, that's yeah. right.
We're their biggest customer. I mean, so they, you know, but they're not stupid people either.
No.
Okay? They're out buying, they're taking our dollars and buying up assets left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Not to mention oil and everything they get their hands on. Okay? That's what's driving the commodity markets is primarily China and India. And don't you think that these companies that are, you know, selling the, you know, the hard, you know, materials to them are gouging the heck out of them, not to mention oil and gas.
Right, right.
Okay, so we're working both ways, but we just don't see it.
Yeah. People who've been paying attention have seen GM and Ford stocks recently been rated as nothing more than junk bonds. And because of their pensions and health care requirements, GM is consumed by debt. My question is this. How real do you think the possibility is that GM could close down their American factories and move them to China?
I wouldn't doubt it for a second. You know, when it comes to big corporates, it's all about one word.
Yep.
Profit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, big oil and the refineries showed us firsthand what they were all about with this, not just a state crisis, this was a national crisis over there in New Orleans, okay?
Uh-huh.
They showed where their real colors were at, okay? It all came down to money.
Yeah.
Hey, okay? The profits and investors and their stock holders and so forth. But when you talk about GM, which is sitting on, gosh, at least a couple hundred billion dollars worth of debt, it's ungodly. And they're really not a car manufacturer anymore. That's
right.
not where they make their money. They make their money in finance.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And, but as far, you know, the Gregorian, who's a very successful investor, just took a 9.5% stake in GM. And he's not a stupid man.
I have one more question here.
He knows something we don't know.
Yeah.
Scott,
well, I wouldn't throw the towel in yet on GM.
What can people do that you think is the most important thing they need to do right now?
Hunker down and cut back on your spending. Start living your life on what you need and not what you want.
Good advice. Yeah. Well, one last thing. And yeah, I did want to throw in that as GM goes, so does America. So keep an eye on that company. Now, since we're talking about China and India and also Japan, as you said, they have a vested interest right now in America because not only do they buy our debt, not only do they export goods to the United States, and not only do they want us to keep outsourcing jobs to them, but there's a wild card in this equation, which is Russia. And Russia doesn't hold a lot of our debt. They don't export a lot of products to us. And we don't outsource our jobs to them. What role does Russia play in this whole global scenario?
Well, they're just a player in the big game, as I would look at it, and that's with this New World Order plan.
Mm-hmm.
They're turning their country around substantially. They paid off all their debt. They're unbelievably resource rich, with not just oil but all sorts of natural minerals, and They're tough, savvy people, and they've been around a hell of a lot longer than we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, and you can never turn your eye on them. Not to mention, there's oodles of the Russian mafia just crawling like spiders all over this country right now.
Yeah, that's so.
And so you know, you can never underestimate. Not to mention, they're making alliances with China and doing military exercises with China, and. But to what
Right.
They're not weak people.
Yeah. Well, Scott, we want to thank you for coming on Wing TV today. This is the kind of show that we literally could spend all afternoon.
And we'd love to have you back on again soon.
As a matter of fact, we want
to be back, and it's really an honor to be a part of this with you folks. I think your work is outstanding. And
the honor's all ours.
Yep, that's right. And just thank you so much for your words of wisdom to everybody out there watching Wing TV, because this is the vital information that everybody needs to know. So, Scott, keep up the great work there, and thanks again for coming on Wing TV.
Thanks, Victor. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Scott.
And we'll be back on Monday on Wing TV. Also, we're going to be on Alex Merklinger show tonight.
And our prayers and thoughts are with all the people who've been devastated by this hurricane.
That's true. So until then, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
Have a good weekend.